Howdy, I'm Brock Faulkner from Texas A&M University. We began looking at the issue of picker versus stripper harvesters on the High Plains, as there's been a lot of changes in the region lately that have made picker harvesters seem a little bit more attractive. And we are looking at a pretty comprehensive project where we're looking at differences in fiber quality, differences in yarn quality, and then the economic component as well, where we're trying to include some time and motion data and some of those things. So I'm going to present part of this research here, and then there's some more information on fiber quality and yarn quality effects that I'll be presenting later on in the engineering session. But the High Plains of Texas is a large cotton-producing region with over a quarter of the cotton, U.S. cotton, being produced in the High Plains. It's characterized by harsh weather conditions, which have led typically to use of more storm-proof varieties. That's one of the reasons it's traditionally been a stripper-harvested region, and also because of the traditionally low yields. However, there's been substantial growth in yields lately. It's estimated that there's now between 300,000 and 400,000 acres of drip irrigation on the High Plains, and over 1 million acres under pivot. Sure, a lot of you are pretty familiar with the differences between pickers and strippers. Here on the left, we have a picker head uses spindles to pull the fibers out of, or the bulls out of the cotton out of the bulls. You have a lot cleaner module when you're done. The strippers will pick the stalk clean. Tends to make producers in that region a lot happier when they don't see any white left in the field at all. But as a result, you get a lot of sticks, a lot of burrs, and a lot of the immature fibers that you're going to leave behind with the picker harvester. Looking at the issue of fiber quality, there's a difference in U.S., what we consider the U.S. base grade and the international base grade. In staple tenacity, the range of micronair that's acceptable, uniformity index, color, and leaf. And when you look at how much cotton in the U.S. meets the U.S. base grade, it's 36.3%, whereas only 8.8% this last year met the international base grade. And as we're shifting towards more of an export market, that's becoming increasingly important. Last year, the international base grade, the percent of the cotton classed in the Lubbock office that met the U.S. and the international base grade was significantly lower than the percentage of the U.S. cotton. And I think we're seeing great improvement. Both, we had great weather this year and just better varieties being introduced to the region. But there's obviously something going on that the HVI, the USDA classing office, isn't picking up on that spinners are, as evidenced by the difference in premiums and discounts received between West Texas cotton and San Joaquin Valley cotton that is graded the same. U.S. base grade cotton from West Texas received a 61-point discount versus 9-point discount from the San Joaquin Valley, even though it had the same grade. When you look at the premiums for cotton that met the international base grade, San Joaquin Valley got over 1,100-point premium, whereas West Texas cotton only got a 422-point premium. So the objective of this research is to determine the economic viability of using picker versus stripper harvesters on the High Plains of Texas. One of the things that we're interested in using pickers is the increase in mic that we see, and especially in areas where there's been traditionally low micronair, and the increase in uniformity. There's been some previous research done. Chin only looked at pickers. There's been a number of these studies that didn't look at input costs. There's some that only looked at row configurations for pickers. And as far as we can tell, talking to several folks that have been doing this kind of research for a while, the research that we're doing is the first field scale comparison between pickers and strippers in the region. So what we wanted to look at for the economic analysis was a lot of this farm data, the harvester data, and other. And the things that I've highlighted in yellow are the things that we were particularly interested in refining those inputs into an economic analysis. It'd be real easy to sit in an office and just make assumptions for these things. But what we really wanted to do is go out to the field and see what was the difference in ground speed at different yields, what was the difference in the amount of time we spent dumping the basket into a bull buggy, what was the difference in harvest efficiency and maintenance. And then we made some assumptions for loan life and interest rate and some of those things that we can refine as appropriate. We also wanted to look at differences in ginning, and for the income portion, we looked at the loan value. It's not ideal. We'd rather look at spot cotton prices, but for this analysis, we just looked at the loan value. So what we did is we harvested in 2006 a Stoneville 4554 B2RF variety. It was yielding around 2.2 bales an acre. As you can see, this Stoneville variety is a very loose lock variety. It's pretty much hanging out of the bowl there, and it picked very clean. But a 6-row 99-96 picker and a 6-row 74-60 stripper. We looked at with a field cleaner and without a field cleaner in 2006. For 2007, we expanded a little bit. We looked at four varieties, two of which have characteristics of the FiberMac, the longer staple. We looked at two different locations and two treatments picked and stripped with field cleaner, whereas in 2006, we had included stripping without burr extracting. When you look at the harvest efficiency by mass, there was a significant difference in the harvest efficiency of the picker versus the stripper and of the harvest speed. But when you go and look at the grade data, that most of that cotton that was left in the field was a very immature fibers. There's a 3/10 difference in Mike between the picked and the stripped cotton. Look, we harvested complete modules for each of these treatments, took them to the gin. Because of late rains, the gin had a difficult time getting rid of the leaf, and so all the cotton here went through the same cleaning regime. They both went through two lint cleaners. We expect this year to only be able to use to only have to use one lint cleaner on the picked cotton versus two on the stripped. So this difference in electrical consumption and gas consumption is completely based on the turnout differences of those modules. And the difference in the cost to producer per bale is based on a fee schedule of $2.50 per hundredweight of seed cotton with no bagging and tie charges, which was the fee schedule again that we were working at. Looking at the HVI results, you can see that there was statistically significant differences in micronair uniformity and loan value. But of particular interest is the fact that both of the strip varieties or strip treatments, that micronair is in the discount range as well as the uniformity, whereas the picked cotton that was picked in the same field and grown under the same conditions, the micronair and uniformity are in the base range, and that led to statistically different loan values for this cotton. So the economic analysis, we plugged in the speed that we measured of harvest. We extrapolated out the harvest time that it would take to harvest 800 acres. We looked at the basket capacity for each of those machines. We took a price of 90% the MSRP listed by John Deere. And then we also considered that for harvest date applications to pick, you only had to use one application of harvest aid, whereas before we stripped, we had to put on two applications of harvest aid. I think this graph is probably a little better, more representative. This is just assuming an 800-acre farm, looking at increasing yields. You can see the comparison in return per acre for picked burr extracted cotton and non-burr extracted cotton, and you can see that above about 1.8 bales an acre, that the picked cotton has a higher return per acre. My experience has been that it's been real difficult to convince some producers that you're going to spend twice as much money on a machine and that this is going to be the case. But the fact is, when you can spend more time on the row and when you can have that get that higher grade data back for your bales, that your return per acre on this 800-acre farm, if you're above 1.8 bales an acre, your return was greater, even though you were running a more expensive machine that was sucking a lot more diesel. If you look at the relative return per acre for the same 100-acre farm, if you take the stripper without the field cleaner as your base return, that at 1.8 bales per acre, there's pretty much no difference. When you get below that, you're going to make more money per acre with the stripper. But when you get up to 3 bales an acre, you can see that you're getting $61 per acre more return with a picker over stripping without burr extracting, and you're getting $93 per acre more return when you get up to 4 bales an acre, which is not an unheard of yield in that area. So when we look at the break even, as we have acres harvested per machine on the x-axis and the yield y, you can see that, you know, when you're not planting a lot of cotton, you have to have real high yields. I'd love for somebody to come up with some 7-bale cotton, but I don't think it's real feasible right now. But as you get out here and you're harvesting, you know, 800, 1,000, 1,200 acres with a machine, then your yields don't have to be much above 1.5 bales an acre for the return to be greater. Now, this is just based on the data from the 2006 harvest season with the Stoneville variety. We haven't had time to evaluate. Well, we haven't actually been able to gin our samples yet, from this season, looking at the four different varieties. So we expect that this curve is going to change a little bit. One of the inputs that we have the most uncertainty in is the maintenance costs. And we're working with producers and with trying to work with the manufacturers to get an idea of the different of the maintenance costs for the different machines. We're, one of the things we're also looking at is how the time and motion data is going to change as the yield increases. We harvested some cotton that yielded about 3.4 bales an acre, and the picker was able to make, you know, three or four passes through the field before it dumped, where the stripper was stopping two, sometimes three times to dump on the row. And just that time waiting and waiting for that bull buggy to come up and take a dump really makes a big difference in the amount of acreage you're able to get done in a day. So for future work, we want to refine those inputs. We want to compare with onboard moduling systems. We're working real closely with the folks at Mississippi State, with Herb Wilcutt and Greg Ibendahl, and some of the folks that are doing a lot of the work with onboard moduling systems to make sure that we're collecting data where we can integrate that and look at those systems as well. We also want to compare the value of the yarns. There is some interest in the region to see if there could be a marketing consortium put together where maybe they could ask for a slight premium for picked cotton over stripped cotton. And so we're trying to look at the value of the product all the way through the yarn stage. I want to thank Cotton Incorporated, the Food and Fiber Research Council, USDA, for allowing us to gin at their facilities, and Texas Ag Experiment Station for funding the research. And it looks like I probably have some time for questions, if that's okay with you. So. Yes, yes. There's an ASAE standard, and I can't tell you exactly what the equation is off the top of my head, but it's a function of the purchase price. And basically, we looked at depreciate that over several years, and with the the cost of maintenance increasing. But it's a function of the purchase price, and I'm well aware from talking to producers that that maintenance number is considerably underestimated. But we just don't have better data than that right now. And we talked with the folks at Deere about looking at their warranty work. But again, that's not a very good estimation of what your maintenance price is. And so we're looking at trying to talk with some folks that keep some better maintenance records on their machines. And if that's any of you, I'd love to talk to you after this, because that's really going to help make this analysis more meaningful to you if this is something that you're considering. All right, appreciate it.